know, hope you know, I'd like to hopefully have a discussion more so than a lesson, because I look for y'all's input just as much as my output. So it'll be a two-way street, so feel free to make comments. I've got questions, ask questions, and hopefully we all will get something out of this period that we spend together this morning. The topic that I came up with today that we'll be discussing will be taking risks as Christians. Hopefully everybody that has made up their mind to become a Christian has already realized that it involves taking risks. You may not realize just how much, but as time goes on, you will realize that the more you try to live your life as being a Christian, the more risks it may involve you taking. And hopefully, after we have this discussion, it may broaden your scope as to the opportunities for risks and the possibilities for the risks that you'll be taking, and it will strengthen your purpose in taking them. Let me see. I'll start with, I think everybody probably has an idea of what a risk is, but I came up with a definition I read that I thought kind of it would explain a little as to what a risk is. And it says that a risk is an opportunity for loss or failure in some specific area of life. The most commonly is known risks are known in the financial world, because if you take a risk on something financial, you're trying to gain more money. And the greater risk that you take, the greater reward you're looking for, the greater yield that you're looking for of your money. It's the same thing that's true with in the Christian life. The greater the risk that we take, the more or the bigger the reward that we will receive when we get to heaven. And not only when we get to heaven, you also can, as you go through your Christian life, you realize that you can reap some of the benefits of the risk that you take as you live. If you take a risk of trying to spread the gospel to somebody that doesn't know it, or just have a conversation with them to help them to understand better about God and about Christ, and if they decide to convert their life to Christianity, then that'd be one benefit that you will see, or reward that you will see, that you know that you had a hand in helping them to make the right decision. Some of the others that you will see, or hopefully you'll see as you go on, will be disgusting. As I said, risk is very attractive to people that have money, because they're looking to get a greater yield. Now, three things that would be involved in a risk that's kind of special is faith, hope, and love. Faith that God will work things out for good, and the hope that in the end the blessing will be greater than the risk, and the love for the one for whom we're taking the risk. Now, there's also a couple of areas that we're going to be looking at in what could be some areas that the risk will be taken in. Is you're leaving your loved ones, financial loss, rejection, public rejection, and life and health. We're going to start with looking at leaving your loved ones. As we had studied with Russ the past couple of weeks about the faith warriors, one of the people that we talked about that depended on faith was Abraham. it tells us in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, how the Lord came to Abraham and told him to leave his family and to go to a place where he was shown. He had to take the risk of believing in the Lord to do that. He didn't know where he was going. It's very possible he was pretty comfortable living where he was living at with his family. But to give up all that and just to go to a strange place, not knowing where he was going, was a great risk. That is one example, but in today's world, you may say to yourself that, well, we don't have to have risks like that. We don't take risks like that because the Lord's not going to tell me to go somewhere where I don't know where I'm going. Well, he may and he may not. We do have people that goes on Christian missions. They go to different countries. They may not live there for the rest of their life, but they go there with the intent of spreading the gospel, which is doing God's work, and they don't know what they're going to encounter when they go there. But they feel like they have a calling to go and to spread the gospel. Maybe a little closer to the individual. When you decide that you want to follow Christ, you're taking the risk with your family as far as being isolated from them. They may not want to associate with you anymore because of the fact that they know that you are a Christian. They may not want to hear what you have to say when you try to talk to them about Christ, about God. You would notice it when you may have been kind of close or you talk to each other on the phone on occasion, but you realize that, it's been a while since I talked to my family member, whoever it may be. When you realize this, I haven't talked to them in a while, then when you call them, they hurry up and get you off the phone. Yes.
You already know you don't have but a very small chance of winning that lottery. But if your faith in God helps you to take that risk, you're already aware of the reward that you're going to get.
Okay. That's a good point. I want you to hold that thought, too, because I got a little something to say about that when we talk about the financial risk. But that's a good point. It is a little different. But it's still, you're right, you are taking a risk, but you know what your reward is going to be, what you're looking for anyway. As I was saying, that your family could reject you because, like I said, you're trying to live the life of the Christian. Also, your friends that when you're not joining in with the activities that they are participating in, they may be sitting around joking off-color jokes. You're not laughing. You're not participating in telling jokes. Right away, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb. You don't have to say a word. They're going to notice it. And they're going to kind of shy away from you. Well, what's wrong with you? You know, why are you not joining in? So, you know, we'll see the risk. If you don't want to be rejected because of that, that's a risk that you'll take as being a Christian. And if you let them know, well, I don't think that's pretty good. That's not what Christ wants me to do. And you face rejection behind that. But you still know that that's the right thing that you should be doing. And Jesus, when he spoke to his disciples, he told them that if any man comes to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and child and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's found in Luke chapter 14, verse 26. What he was telling them is the lifestyle that you are accustomed to or have been accustomed to, your lifestyle will change once you decide to wear the name of Christ. And as he said, you were going to hate it. It didn't mean that you're just going to hate it altogether, just out and out hate as we know hate. We know hate as somebody saying, I hate that person. I can't stand them. I don't want to be around. Not that kind of hate, but the hate he was referring to is you're going to change from that lifestyle or participation, as I just said, and the activities that be going on. If you're used to going out with friends, or you used to being around family, and every special occasion, we're going to share a glass of sherry or a cold beer or just some other kind of alcoholic drink, mint juleps, there are a thousand of them, you know. But because you're trying to live the life of a Christian, you're not participating in that for the special occasion. Or a bottle of champagne. Oh, well, why can't you? Okay, well, I'm not going to have the champagne. I'm going to have me some sparkling cider. Why you can't drink this with us? You too good? You know, you're going to stand out. You're going to be noticed. But this is the choice you make, because you know that this is not what Christ would want you to do. And you're going to spread that word by showing that you're not participating in that. Yes? Mm-hmm. That's true.
I've got to come first.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you also let people know your life as a Christian is not going to be
easy. Yes. Yes.
You have to make hard decisions.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly what you'll be doing when you make that change and stand up for Christ. That's what you're doing, standing up for Christ and making that change and saying that, no, I'm not going to participate. I still join in with you in the celebration, but I'm not going to do it this way, because Christ is first. You're right. Yes.
Jimmy, you said we already have the reward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, I just think of Saul when he was supposed to become king and he was hiding, you know. We can't hide. We can't hide. We just have to fight the flesh, you know, but we have the reward. I like that. I like that so much.
Yes.
There is no risk other than just our flesh gets in the way. And
our fears get in the way.
Our fears.
Mm-hmm.
But what Jesus do in those situations? You know, I'm on the construction site.
Oh, yes, yes.
Especially if they got you one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that happen. It's just...
Yeah, and like I said, all you have to do is just...
Very awkward.
Yeah, you don't have to say a word. If you don't laugh,
yeah.
You already standing out. You know, it's like, if you don't laugh, a light just came on top of you. You know, like, you're standing out. Like, hey, how come you didn't laugh? You didn't think it was funny? You know, and then if they say something... It gives you the opportunity to say, well, no, I don't go that way. I don't like that.
I need to work on words to speak instead of just being silent. And to be able to say them with love, you know, just to let them know so they don't have to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just so they know, I need to work on that.
Well, I won't say they won't do it again, because as long as the devil is going to be constantly at you, working through them, they're going to be constantly doing that, to see how you're going to react.
Right,
because,
antagonistic, yeah.
Yeah, they're looking to try to break you, more or less. But one thing you can do, and it may help, is if that happens, when it happens, the first thing you say is two words, Lord, help. Say it to yourself, Lord, help. And when you try to speak, he will help you come out with words that you can say in love to let them know. Because point blank, if you tell them, well, I try to live my life as a Christian, and that's not what Christ wants me to do. Right there, that lets them know, oh, then now the ball is in their court. Are you going to continue to do this? Or do you want to be like a Christian? Or, well, they might say, well, I'm not a Christian. Okay, well, I see. Not trying to start anything, but just let them know where you stand. And if you can, try to tell them something about Christ, you know. And you can tell them, well, the Lord is blessing you with life every day. You shouldn't ought to do that either. That's making them think, you know, well, man, I don't want to hear that, you know. Okay, well, I just was letting you know. You know, like you was telling the joke, I was just telling you, and let it go at that. You know, that's just one example. But when you say, Lord, help, the Lord will help you come up with something to get you through that situation. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I had to tell him, I said, look, I'm really trying to live the Christian life, and I get very uncomfortable, so I put it on me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I get so uncomfortable when you do that when I'm around. I said, would you please not do that?
Mm-hmm.
So you put it on yourself instead of putting it on them.
Right.
And really, in the end effect, you may have to get them to make a decision.
Right. Right. And it lets them know how much do they value your company or your friendship, your relationship as a family member. How much do they value that? You know, in a case where you have to work side by side with them, they may don't value it at all. Same thing with family members. They may not value it at all. But still, you have put it out there so they would know.
But I told her, I said, I don't like this. This kind of talk is, and I had to tell her, you know, a thing that Mike would always say, if you can't hold a conversation without cussing, you got to pull vocabulary.
Right. Yes. And in essence, what are you doing? You're still spreading the word. Yes, yes. So that's some good points, good suggestions. We're going to move on to the financial laws. This example that they had here, what if I were a financial planner? And I told you that for the next 30 years, you would lose money on your investment, but that in the 31st year, your money was guaranteed to make up everything you lost and 10 times that. Would you invest? What if it was instead of years, months or days, hours, minutes or seconds? The point is, if you had a specific time frame that you knew you were going to lose, but in the end, you're going to have a great gain, would you take the risk of doing it? Which, as you said a minute ago, is not really a risk because you know what the outcome is, or it's different because you know what the outcome is. If you used the example of playing the lottery, you knew that what the reward would be, that's true, But it's the possibility of not getting that reward. Because if you lose, yeah, if you lose, then whatever you invested in, whether it be $1 or $10, you know, the more money you put in, the more you're going to get. But whatever you put in, whatever you lose it. Right.
So, but when you talk from the spiritual part, and the risk you're taking for the Lord, your reward's already there. You know, there's no question about it.
Only if you continue.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's the same thing. You know, if you're going to lose once you fall by the wayside and not continue. You know, people fall all the time, but the idea is when you fall to get back up and continue on. Ask for repentance, pray for repentance, and continue on. God will forgive you. But how many people do we know have fallen away from the church? You haven't seen them. You ask them, or you do see them, and you encourage them to come back, and they still don't come back. You know, we haven't seen you in a while. You know, we've been missing you. Why don't you come back this Sunday? I've been busy. I've been sick. I got a whole lot of to do. My car broke down. I'm going to be out of town. There's more excuses than you can name. But because they just made up their mind, well, I ain't going back, you know. And mostly because they fear rejection. Go ahead. Yes. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's also the chance of losing with the chance you take because it's a chance, a game of chance with the lottery. One other point I thought of, consider, and this is the reason why I admit I tried it when it first came out because, of course, it's like something new. But I came to the realization that I give it up because I've heard somebody say something that kind of stuck with me, and I'm putting it out now. When you take a chance on the lottery. And I've heard people say, I hope the Lord let me win this. The Lord is not going to let you win that. The Lord is already providing everything you need. He's already promised you he's going to provide everything you need. He didn't say he's going to give it to you when you want it, but he's going to be there when you need it. So when you take that game of chance and then ask for the Lord to help you, you can forget that. He's not going to help you with that because once you take that, put your faith in that chance, then you done took your faith away from the Lord. So you can't, I mean, people don't realize that, I don't think, but a lot of people, if I get through the lottery, I'm going to give some to my church, and I'm going to put some to these people, and I'm going to give some to this, I'm going to help a lot of folks. And they think because they say that the Lord's going to let them win. That's not it. You depend on the Lord. Use what he give you, what little bit it is, and that's just as much in the eyesight of the Lord as $2 is just as much as $2,000 in the Lord's eyesight if you're giving it from your heart. If you are not giving it from your heart, you can give $10,000. It don't mean nothing to the Lord. So we have to know where it's coming from. If it's coming from your heart and you mean well, the Lord's going to provide for you to do that anyway. The more you do, the more he's going to give you to do. But when you misuse that as to, well, I was going to get this, but I'm going to hold back a little bit, you lost faith in the Lord. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Yep, the widow, that put in the two mites, all she had. She gave it to the Lord's work because she trusted in the Lord that he would provide for her. That's in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21. But, and I'm guilty of that also. When I first started going to church, I would go up on Sunday because at the church I was going to that time, we used to come up and put money to the table. And I think, well, maybe I shouldn't make this comment, but I'm thinking of someone, make it in a way. I think that in some churches, the idea of you coming up to put your money in is a concept to make you feel guilty about what you put up because people see you. So you should put up enough where people look at, oh, he put up that much, you know. But anyway, I used to come up to the table, and all I would put in was a dollar. Every Sunday. Now, the Lord blessed me to work, blessed me to pay my bills, blessed me to have something to eat all week, blessed me to go out and buy my cigarettes, my alcoholic beverages, and everything else I wanted to do. But all I was going to give him back was a dollar every Sunday. Finally, it dawned on me, you got to change your ways, buddy. You got to do better than that, you know. When I look at everything that he's given me, that dollar just won't cut it. So, as we say, what you purpose in your heart is what you give. In biblical times, they had to give 10%. The Lord doesn't put a stipulation on us now as to how much you should give. But he tells you, give what you purpose in your heart. Now, if you think about it, how much is it worth for you to wake up every morning? How much is it worth? Say you wake up, but how much is it worth for you to move? Yes, when you think about it. And I told somebody about after I had that accident, I didn't realize how close you are in that little strip. The little two lines or one line that going down that highway, you know how close you come to another car coming at you 40, 50, 60 miles an hour? How much could you put on that? And you're right, it's prices. How much can you put on this air that you breathe? And we know for a fact right now in another part of the world, the air is so thick, you can't even see across the street. How much could you put on that? But the Lord gives us all this because he knows this is what we need. So, you know, we don't think about what we give, but if you take a moment just to think about it, and he's already promised us too, that everything that you give, when you get to heaven, it's going to be all worth it. And the fact that he tells you, you cannot be God-given. And I've seen it happen time and time again. You give somebody something, before you know it, it'll come right back to you. And you said, Dick, I just gave this away. I just got another one came back to me. You know? I mean, it will happen if you trust in him. So this is just one of the things to think about. The risk, as you said, it's not really a risk because we know what the reward is. The risk is, how long are you going to hold out and wait? You know? But we said we will wait forever. So we try to live and keep that word that we'll live forever. I mean, not live forever. You know, keep our word that we will hold out forever until judgment day. Another area is our life and health. We studied about Paul and some of the perils that he went through preaching the gospel. In Acts chapter 9, verse 23, there was a council that was trying to kill him. In Acts chapter 13, verse 50, the Jews raised up persecution against him in Antioch. We studied about that. In Acts chapter 14, verse 5, there was a plot against Paul and Barnabas in Iconium. And in one point, he was stoned. We studied about that. In our day today, it's not, I don't know how to put it in the right words like I want to say it, but we still live under the threat of being a Christian. We still can lose our life. In biblical days, you were a Christian, you were persecuted because they were going around trying to find the Christians to persecute them, to punish them, to kill them, because they didn't want that to happen. To some extent, that is still going on today, because how many times have we read about folks going into churches and just shooting up people in the church? That's why we try to keep have a plan in action here that we would use if something like that happened. Yes? Okay. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Because it's not as, I guess the word might be prevalent or as happened as often as it did at that time. But yes, it still is happening though. We may not hear it as often, but we do still hear it. We know it's possible. Like I said, that's why we still have a plan in effect here, because not just Church of Christ, but just church period, people still go into church shooting up people that's in the church, and they target it because they know that people are there in the church. They're not going there on a Tuesday or Wednesday or Friday. They're going there on a Sunday when they know the people are there, and they're shooting up people that's in there. Because I guess the devil is behind it all, but still, it does happen. And not long ago, Waco, Texas, if I've got my facts right, the person doing the shooting was asking him, "Are you a Christian?" And if they owned up to it, then he shot him, you know. I mean, yes, that was just an incident so many years ago, but yes, because of the possibility of it happening, and we're still under the threat or taking the risk. When we came here today, and every Sunday morning we come here, we still take the risk because we don't know when it could happen to us. But we have faith in God that He's going to protect us. But it's still, I agree with what you're saying. It's not as, it doesn't happen as often, or you don't hear about it in the news as much, but it still happens, and it's still possible every day. Yes?
The
Right.
And she's a Catholic. I just look at her life story, adoptions and all kind of stuff. She just seems like a wonderful woman. But persecution's going on. You know, they're arresting people for singing without masks. And,
yeah.
You know, rioters can riot, but you know you can't sing to the Lord without a mask. I mean.
Yeah, when this pandemic first started, what did they want to do? Shut down all the churches. But it was okay to go in the liquor store, but you're going to shut down all the churches. You know, it didn't make sense. So it's still, the point being that, like she said, it may not be as often as what was happening in that day, but we still are persecuted today. Even to the point of death, you know. And if they come up with a law that shuts all the churches down, they may not have put a gun to our head and killed us physically, but they have killed us as a body of gathering in this place. So we have to come up with another solution as to where we would meet, just as what they did in the biblical days with meeting in homes or somewhere in secret. I was told once that the insignia, the igloo fish, I don't know if you all have seen that or not, but the little fish, I think it got Jesus in it. That was a sign they used to use to point to where a place was that Christians could meet. But it's still happening today. So that's just another point, you know, to bring out. And my last point, so we got about maybe 5 more minutes.
Okay, hold on one
second. Yes. If that had happened back in the biblical time, we wouldn't be gathering together at this time now. And last but not least, the point I wanted to bring out was the public rejection and failure, which we pretty much touched on a little bit. But the one thing, being rejected is one thing anybody and everybody really don't want to have to go through, being publicly rejected because you're trying to preach Christ, or trying to live as a Christian, or trying to do the right thing. People will ridicule you, put you down, make an example of you, because that's what the devil is behind it all. That's what he's trying to do. The point is, we have to have faith, as she said, but we also have to have the strength which we need to get from God, and to pray, to ask him to give us the strength to stand up and be bold enough. And when I say stand up, it doesn't mean that you have to jump up on a podium or jump up on a soapbox or just walk around. There's a lady that I've seen, some of you might have seen her, she walks around in Walmart up here on Crater Road, and she'd be just saying stuff like, Jesus loves you, and just preaching God to any and everybody she sees, and people look at her like she's crazy, you know, because out of the blue, she'd tell you, God loves you, and I do too. You know, and Christ died for you. And she's just saying it and steadily walking, which that takes a lot of nerve. I mean, you know, and a lot of faith and belief. But you don't have to do that. But the mere fact that, like we touched on, if you just stand up for Christ and your actions and what you do, it's going to be just like a beam came down right on top of you. Everybody's going to notice it. when you don't laugh at off-color jokes, when you ask them to not to say stuff around you like that, or you just don't participate in things that they do, they're going to look at you, what's wrong with you? You know, why are you not doing this? Oh, man, you ought to be a killjoy. You always want to do this, you always want to. And then they're going to label you. Here come that Bible thumper. Here come that goody-goody two-shoes. But you are doing what is right. You are doing what God wants you to do. That's standing up for Christ. And you're doing it every day. This is what life is about. When you say, I want to be a Christian, I'm going to follow you, Christ. I'm going to follow you, God. I'm going to do what you have me to do. I'm going to try to live my life for you. This is it. This is what you do. Face ridicule. Because in the end, when we stand before judgment, all of that ridicule will be gone. It won't be nobody but you and God. All that stuff is not going to matter. All the ridicule. Everything that Christ did when he went through to go to the cross, we don't have to go through that. We may be ridiculed, put down, made fun of, talked about, maybe even get spit in the face, maybe. But we won't have to go through none of that what Christ went through the way he did. So I was not going to compare to what he went through. So that's my lesson this morning, taking risks as Christians. Hope I gave you something to think about. Y'all definitely gave me something to think about. And I hope it will encourage you to continue to take risks and live your life to the best of your ability as a Christian.